I want to study with you a sugya that appears in two major places in Shas. One is here in Brachos on Daf Lamed Aleph, and the other is in Erevin on Daf Samach Dalet Samach Hey, and it's about a shikar. Now, the Torah's attitude towards drinking intoxicated beverages in most places in the world, except for Toronto, is pretty, you know, in Toronto, it's, you know, no holds barred, you know what I'm saying?
Rabbi, yeah. The one that I got that you sent is Talmud Torah Kedeged Kulam.
No.
Are you on David Spiegel's list?
Yeah, but you had sent the link. But you said something about drinking or something?
Yeah, I thought it was.
Hello, okay. Skara Kahalacha. Shikura.
Right.
Either living or getting drunk, one or the other.
But I didn't send you Talmud Torah Kedeged Kulam, but you know what?
That's just the logo at the top, sorry. I got the right one.
Oh, okay, good. Thanks.
Talking about drunkenness or any living?
It's about drunkenness. It's about intoxicating beverages. We're going to talk about the Torah. You know, a little bit first about the Torah's attitude in general towards Yayin. And as I said at the outset, it's very complicated, very ambivalent. there are actually contradictions. I mean, there's one pasuk that says, V'yayin yisamach lev enosh. Which sounds very positive, you know. If you want happiness, you drink wine, and that's a pasuk in Mishlei. There's another pasuk on the other end that says, "Let's hayayin homer shechar v'chol shoge bo lo yecha," which is the exact opposite. And then the Torah says, "Al tehi b'sove yayin." So we have, you know, various attitudes towards wine, and you'll see a whole bunch of psukim on page 1, all the way on the top of your page, and it's kind of contradictory. You know, is it a good thing? Like in Shir Shir, it says chichech ki yena tov. Obviously, if the mashal here is the love between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Knesset Yisrael, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is turning to Knesset Yisrael and describing her as something like Yayin, like the good wine, it sounds like wine is a good thing. I mean, we do many, many mitzvahs with wine. But on the other hand, there's a boundary. So we have to figure out a little bit in halacha, get a sense of what the boundary is. You know, there are places in the world where there are boundaries about drinking wine. Okay? And I know that's hard for you to accept. I mean, I was once up north. I got invited to a kiddush after, I don't know when it was, somewhere in the middle of something or other there. It was in that big shul that looks like a house. What do they call it? Anyway, you know what I mean. And a good friend of mine, his first name is Tommy, wonderful guy. He invites me to this kiddush. I mean, I saw more bucks being spent on whiskey in that kiddush than I've seen in my whole life.
Is this in New York or Toronto?
In Toronto, yeah. This was in Toronto.
Well, I was at a kiddush in New York at the Jewish Center on 86th Street.
Yeah.
You would not believe the selection of scotches they had.
Wow.
But I've never seen anything like that in my life.
I'll put it on my agenda for my next Shabbos in New York.
Yeah.
All right. So what does the Gemara tell us in those two sugyas that I mentioned? The Gemara tells us that shesu yayin al yispalel. So there's a phrase called shesu yayin. It means he drank wine. What does that mean? Al yispalel. And then it says, v'im yispalel, if he went ahead and he davened, tfiloso tfilo. B'di'eved, he's a shesu yayin, his tefillah is acceptable. But shikar, al yispalel, v'im yispalel, tefiloso toeva. Which means that if a shikar davens, then his tefillah is abominable, and it's completely rejected. He's going to have to daven again. So what is it? Shesui Ayin is not so terrible. He shouldn't have davened, but if he davened b'dieved, it's okay. But a shikar, that's absolutely unacceptable, and its tefillah is completely null and void. Hechi domi shesui Ayin vehechi domi shikar. So what's the difference between the two? That's what the Gemara wants to know. So again, keep in mind that we're learning now the laws of tefillah, and what we're going to try to figure out is, does tefillah really set the bar, so to speak, pardon the pun, as to what you're allowed to drink and what you're not allowed to drink, and whether drinking makes you into a drunkard and when not? There's some difference between a shesui yayin and a shikar. Well, in order to analyze this, what we'll take a look at is the last line on the top of your page 1 in the top source, which is Erev and Daf Samach Dalet, and he says the following: Shesui Yayin is Kol Sheyochol Ledaber Lifnei HaMelech. In other words, if you would put him in front of the king, he's not so drunk that he cannot carry on some sort of intelligent dialogue with the king. But shikar is eino yachol ledaber lifnei hamelech. He's not capable. He's completely intoxicated to the extent that he cannot carry on any sort of intelligent conversation with the king. And the question that we want to ask here is the obvious question: who cares about the king? I mean, we're talking about levels of intoxication. You want to tell me he can't, you know, if he goes to work, he cannot, you know, communicate with his co-workers, but why the emphasis on the king? Anybody want to take a guess at that? I think there's a good, solid answer to why the king is playing such a role here.
You have to show respect to Melech.
Correct, but what else? Why in this particular context is all the emphasis on a king? You know, maybe we should say, you know, you have to speak in front of the Kohen Gadol, maybe you have to speak to the Navi, you know, there are a lot of Rosh Sanhedrin, Nasi, there's a lot of people who demand kavod.
He's dying to the Rabbanit.
Exactly, because tefillah by its very essence is omed bifnei melech. That's what tefillah is all about. You're standing in front of the melech, malchei hamelechim, and can you express yourself intelligently? Now, you may say, well, he's saying the words, and I have no doubt that he's saying the words, otherwise we wouldn't have a discussion whether his tefillah is viable, is valid or not valid, but saying the words is not enough. What else do we need when you're standing in front of the king? Is it enough just to mumble your words? You know, you read the siddur?
You have to try to have kavanah.
Excellent, you need kavanah. How do we gauge kavanah? If you're yochol ledaber b'fnei hamelech, if you could speak to a human king and say something intelligent, that means you're capable of having kavanah. But if you don't have the ability to carry on some sort of half-decent, intelligent, intelligible dialogue with the king, then how are you going to have kavanah in tefillah? So that we could certainly, if we use tefillah as our paradigm for what's considered shasuyai, what's considered shikar, we can really understand that tefillah sets a standard of yochol ledaber lifnei hamelech because of the nature of this mitzvah. The mitzvah itself, by definition, is kavanah shu omed bifnei hashchina. Reb Chaim Brisker, for example, is very famous for saying that a tefillah without kavanah is not a tefillah from beginning to the end. As far as the Gemara at the end of the fourth parak, the Gemara says in Brachos that it's enough to have kavanah in Avos. That, he says, is as far as Pirush Amilos is concerned. But as far as kavanah that he's talking to the king, that kavanah has to take him from the beginning until the end. And if he's not capable of that kavanah, then his tefillah is meaningless. So that's going to be the case of a shikar. Now, we also have a category called the shesui yayin. With regard to a shesui yayin, it says, yochol ledaber b'fnei hamelech. But nevertheless, we had the statement of Rabbi Bar Barhuna, Shesu Yayin Al Yispalel. He shouldn't daven, even though he's only a shesui yayin. Okay, fine. That's a question. We're going to try to come back to this question a little bit later. What is the deal with the shesui yayin? He had some wine, but he's still able to have kavan in his tefillah, but yet lechatchila shouldn't be davening. We'll try to come back to that a little bit later. Fine. The Rambam in Perek Daled Milchus Tefillah says that there are five categories, five requirements of tefillah that are absolutely ma'akev, they're critical, and one is kavanas halev. Now, if you take a look for a moment on page 3 of your handout here, if you happen to have that page, there's an article here called Shesia Veshikrus Behalacha. Do you see that? I don't know if you have that. He says, you have it? He says, Lanias Daiti Yesh Lichora Makom Ladun Bitam Ha'iser Lishasui Veshika Lispalel Imu Bishum Chisar Kavana. Or he says, "Mitam sheshasui v'shikar maus umaguna lamod lispalel lifnei melech." He wants, in the second possibility, utilize a concept called soa, or meiraglaim, where it's considered maus. It's disgusting, repulsive to daven in close proximity, where with feces and with urine, and maybe there's something about maus here, that's something disgusting, repulsive about standing in front of the king when you're drunk. So he wants to expand that to shasu yayin. Now, I appreciate where he's coming from, and he's finding it very difficult to assume that it's a chisaron kavana, probably for the reason that we gave, because in the case of shasu yayin, he's capable of carrying on a conversation with the king, so he has kavana, but nevertheless, there's something about a shesui yayin, he says, which is considered maus, and again, it's not the same maus as tsoa, because tsoa, the maus is in the tsoa, here the maus is in the person, and he's maus because he had some drinks. I'm not exactly sure that I'm on board here with this approach. I would tend to take a different approach. So if you're willing to listen to this, let's talk about tfilos as avoda. Right? The pasuk says, "V'avadetenas Hashem Elokeichem," you should serve Hashem. And ezi avoda shebelev zoi tfilah. That's the Sifri. The Rambam codifies this at the very beginning of Hilchas Talmud Torah, of Hilchas Tfilah, excuse me. And if we're going to say that tefillos is keneged karbonos, which means that the tefillah in our time is meant to replace a karbon, so let's go back to the Beis Hamikdash. With regard to whom would this category of shesui yayin or shikar be relevant? In the Beis HaMikdash. Anybody have an answer to that question? In other words, there's somebody I have in mind, and you're going to tell me who that person is, or that category is. And here, in Avodas Mikdash, we have to determine if he's Shikar, if he's Shasuyayim. Who do I have in mind?
Aaron's... was it Aaron's sons or Ellie's sons were drunk?
Well, again, I'm talking about Beis HaMikdash. You know, Aaron is a good answer, but just give me a generic term for the children of Aaron. I feel like a dentist pulling teeth. Kohanim, correct. The Kohanim do the avoda. Is a Kohen kosher for avoda if he's drunk?
No.
It depends. Is he shasuyayin or is he a shikar? Okay, so let's take a look at the halacha. Very fascinating set of halachas. This is in the Rambam, Perek Aleph Mihilchos Bias Migdash. And the Rambam writes, Kol Kohen Koshel Avoda Im Shasa Yayin. If he drank wine, Osolo Likones Minamazbeach Ulumifnim. V'imnichnas v'ovad avodoso psula. V'hu sheyishte revius yayin chai b'vasachas. At what point do we say that the Kohen is not qualified to do the avoda? If he did the avoda, it's posul. The Rambam says, number one, he drank a revius yayin. Number two, it was chai, it was undiluted. And number three, he drank it all b'vasachas. However, haya shikar mishar hamashkim hamashakrim. So he was drunk, let's say he drank beer, I'm just giving a possibility, you want to call it whiskey, schnapps, you know, you're in the 90s there and in Manhattan, wherever you are. So he says, also likonis the migdash. However, v'im nichnas v'ovad v'hu shikar mishar hamashkim, he says avodaso kshera. He's not allowed to go in there because he's a shikar, but his avodas kosher. So there are two dinim here. Let's just summarize. Number one, a shesu yayin who drank a revius yayin is not allowed to do the avoda. If he does so, the avoda is absolutely disqualified. But if he's a shikar, mishar mashkim, then he's not allowed to do the avoda, but if he did the avoda, he wasn't mechallel the avoda. Let's take some of these categories. Correct. He was not allowed to do the avoda, but if he did the avoda is kshera. Let's see if we can apply some of these categories to tefillah. For example, in the case of avoda, we're going to say the following. That since the Torah says that a shikar is not allowed to do the avoda, so too a shikar is not allowed to be mispalel. However, we were wondering what happens if he went ahead and he did daven b'dieved, would his tefillah be meaningful? And we saw a difference between shesu yayin and shikar. Now herein lies the difference between avoda in kohen, and tefillah. In the case...
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Well, when he says shikar, what does he mean?
He's talking about someone who was intoxicated by virtue of drinking other beverages other than yayin.
So how can he say... I'm sorry, how can he say that the avoda is going to be okay?
Why? Because he's not called a shesu yayin. The Torah says that a kohen who's a shesu yayin is posel the avoda, and his avoda is disqualified. The Torah doesn't say that about a shikar. So that a kohen who's a shikar is not allowed to do the avoda, but his avoda is kshera. And again, if you want, we'd have to learn through all the sugyas in different mesechtas in kodshim. But I'm just trying to use this Rambam as a paradigm to explain the difference between a shikar and a shesu yayin. Now, let's compare this Rambam to Hilchas Tefillah. The Rambam says in Hilchas Tefillah, Perek Dalet Halach Yud Zayin, Shikar al Yispalel, Mipnei She'ein Lo Kavana, V'yim Yispalel Tefiloso Toeva, and therefore Leficha Choser Mispalel. He's going to have to daven a second time. Shasui al Yispalel, V'yim Yispalel Tefiloso Tefillah. Now it's interesting, if you are careful about the Rambam, you'll see everything is just the reverse. In the Bias Migdash with regard to Kohen, we said that Shesu Yayin is worse than Shikar. But in Tefillah, Shikar is worse than Shesu Yayin. And why? Because with regard to Tefillah, what separate halacha do we mention earlier as a prerequisite? Kavana, correct? So if your standard is Kavana, then a Shesu Yayin, even though he drank a revius of Yayin, but nevertheless, he's still capable of carrying on a conversation with a Melech. So therefore, although he has the status of Shesu Yayin, which if he were a Kohen doing the Avoda would completely disqualify him, but with regard to Tefillah, we're going to say, alright, you're a Shesu Yayin. You want to do the Avodas HaTefillah. We're not going to allow you to do that. if you were a Kohen in the Beis HaMikdash, you would certainly not be allowed to do the Avodah, your Shesu Yayin, but you're not drunk. And if you're not drunk, you're capable of Kavana, and therefore, at least by the Eved, if he daven, then his tefillah is valid. Oh, so even though a Shesu Yayin who does the Avodah, the Rambam Paskins, his Avodah is Mechuleles, but nevertheless in tefillah, since he is capable of Kavana, therefore his tefillah is valid, b'di'evit. But again, the category of Shesu Yayin is a category in Avodah, and therefore in tefillah, he's excluded from tefillah. If he went ahead and he davened, it's b'di'evit, it's okay. But when we get to a shikar, where in Hilchas Bias Migdosh and Avodah Sakoin, the Rambam Paskin said a shikar is not machal his Avodah, tefillah is going to be different. Why? Because the essence of tefillah is omeid lifnei ha-melech, and the shikar is not capable of an intelligent conversation with the melech, and therefore his tefillah is completely invalid. As far as the shikar and avodah is concerned, if he did the avodah and he performed it properly, then b'di'evet it's okay. He shouldn't have done so. But in avodah, we don't have this central fundamental requirement of kavana as we do in tefillah, and therefore the Rambam is going to paskin that a shikar in avodah is b'di'evet, it's okay. So this is really interesting, because what we're really seeing in front of our eyes, I believe, is an answer to the question that's raised here on page 3 as to why the Torah doesn't want a shesu yayin and a shikar to be mispalel. And the answer is because of this paradigm of avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. And tefillah is our avodah. However, you have to keep in mind that there is a fundamental difference between our tefillah and avodah, in which we say that tefillah essentially revolves around kavana. In avodah, kavana is not, for example, you know, the Mishnah at the beginning of Zvachim says that in avodah, even if you didn't have lishma, the zevach is kosher. So we see that in avodas and karbonos, it's the action, it's the avodah, not so much the kavana. The kavana plays a secondary role, if any role at all. So there we're talking about a concept called shesu yayin. And what is shesu yayin? He drank a revius yayin. Chai, bevasachas. Such a person is completely excluded from avodah. In tefillah, I have to ask a different question. Obviously, shesu yayin is not allowed to be mispalel, but does he have kavana? And if he has kavana, so he drank a revius yayin, but he still is able to carry on a conversation with the melech, and therefore the evidence tefillah is a tefillah, but not in the case of a shikar. He doesn't even have the capacity to carry on a conversation with the melech. Joe?
But would you say that this separation between the shikar of other meats and yayin for avoda would not be in place, say, on Yom Kippur, when he says the Shem Hashem, when he says the Yihi Ratzon? So in that situation, even if he is, you would not allow him at all in that case, because there's involved at the same time as the avodah.
Right. Like, I was wondering, what would be the status of Nesias Kapayim, of Duchenin? So Nesias Kapayim is comprised of two different elements. There's the bracha, and then there's the Nesias Kapayim itself. So in the case of the bracha would probably fit into categories of tefillah, because a bracha is a kind of a tefillah. And then we would say, well, shesu yayin is a problem, but b'di'evet, he made the bracha, and it's fine. If he's shikar, that's a problem. But when we get to the avodah itself, meaning nesias kapayim, which is basically an avodah, then in that halacha should be governed by the laws of a kohen. That just like a kohen, he does the avodah, if he's shesu yayin, then it's completely invalid. If he's a shikar, then the avodah is kshera. So too, in the siyas kapayim, which is a kind of avodah, it would depend upon whether he's shesu yayin or he is a shikar. So that would, I think, support what you're saying, Joe, that there may be various capacities of a Kohen in the Beis HaMikdash, and in some cases the Kohen is also involved in some sort of a Omed Lifnei HaMelech kind of Kavanah situation, and then we would revert back to the guidance and the guidelines that apply to Tefillah because of the requirement of Kavanah. Now, let's ask the following question. What's going to be the story with the Shikar in Kriyat Shema? And here we have a Rambam in Hilchos Kriyat Shema. Excuse me. And the Rambam says in Hilchos Kriyat Shema that, let me just see if I can find it here. Okay, I don't find the Rambam right now, but the Ramban at least I have in front of me. The Ramban says, Le'inyon Shikar Vishesuyayin, he says the following, that Yotza Yedecho Vaso, the time of the Tfil Mishum Dubai Kavani Yisrael Neshu Kimidab Elfayam Melech. But he says, as far as Kriyat Shema is concerned, Kriyat Shema is not Medaber Lifnei HaMelech. Kriyat Shema is not a dialogue, a conversation, or a supplication in front of the Ribono Shel Olam. It is a recitation. It's a kriya. So he says the following, that a shikar is excluded from tefillah because he's not capable of conversing with the melech in any intelligent way. But in the case of Kriyat Shema, if he's able to do the kriya itself, then even if he's a shikar, then his Kriyat Shema is valid. But then he goes on to say something else, and he says that with regard to Kriyat Shema, we require kavana of Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim. So that might put Kriyat Shema in a whole different light. Again, I don't know if he's Omid Bifnei HaMelech, but certainly his recitation is more than just a rote mechanical recitation of words and psukim and parashios. We need an element of Kavanas Halev. Now let's just take a moment to talk about brachos in general. And this is on page 4 of Yomar Makomos. And we're looking at the Rambam in Simon Sadi Tes, Sif Aleph. And he writes, V'din Kriyat Shema K'din Tefillah, that Kriyat Shema has the same status as Tefillah, which implies that a shikar would not be yotze Kriyat Shema. And l'chora, the reason for that is because there's a special din of kavana in Kriyat Shema. Let's just see if the Mishnah Berurah is aware of this kind of a distinction. What number is it? Zion? No. Din Kriyat Shema? Fine. Kidin Tefillah? Oh, it's the last Mishnah Berurah on the right column. He says, the afshesui.
Page
4, I said. You didn't hear me. Page 4.
Page 4. At the top of the page?
No, the Mishnah Berurah is actually towards the bottom of the page. There's a Mishnah Berurah on the right column. You'll see Kidin Tefillah. Hainu, the afshesui, osu lechatchila b'kriyat shema. Now, the language of the Mishnah Berurah is lechatchila, which is very fascinating because he's commenting on the Rambam, and the Rambam says, din kriyat shema ki din tefillah. But if he says it's lechatchila, he's implying that b'di'eved, he was yotze. And then he goes on and he quotes the Levush, who says, yesh makil b'kriyat shema af im hu shikar, which sounds like even lechatchila, he's allowed to recite kriyat shema. On the top of the left, he writes, the shiny tefillah shubakoshas tzrochov. I don't know why he has to get so fancy here about bakoshas tzrochov. All right, he's quoting the Levush. I would have said shiny tefillah shuke'omeid lifnei amelech. He's carrying on a conversation with the king. That's not true for Kriyat Shema. And then he quotes, a Yerushalmi on the third line, less our shikar b'kriyat shema. Oh, he goes from one extreme to the other. He starts with the Levush that says that there's no problem with a shikar and kriyat shema, and then he goes ahead and quotes Yerushalmi, less our shikar b'kriyat shema. But then he writes, b'di'eved, im nishtaker, ein liftars atzmo b'kriyat shema b'shum zeh. All right, that's something else. He's not potter from Kriyat Shema because he's drunk. That's not an excuse. The whole thing is a little bit confusing. I would have submitted to you that the reason why we should distinguish between Kriyat Shema and Tefillah is simply because in Kriyat Shema we don't have this requirement that we have in Tefillah of conversing with the king. He says something totally different. He says that... Because tefillah has to do with bakashas tzracha. Are you still able to hear me? Are you able to hear me?
Yeah, I lost you for a second.
Yeah, I don't know if somebody calls me, so we get disconnected. I'm sorry. Anyway, now what about Shire Brachos? So let's go back to the Ramah again on the top of page 4. And the Ramah writes 4 lines down from the top of page 4, I will Shire Brachos Yochel Levarech Afal Pishahu Shikar. He says the following, that with regard to Kriyat Shema, we have a special status. And it's like tefillah, and we don't want a drunkard saying Kriyat Shema. We certainly don't want a drunkard reciting the brachas of Kriyat Shema. But as far as Shire brachas are concerned, it doesn't bother me that he's a shikar. V'yochel avarech afal pishu hu shikar. I didn't write the text. That's what it says here in the Ramah. So you can make all the brachas even if he is a shikar. And the Mishnah Berurah says all brachos means even a bracha d'oraisa like Birkas HaMazon. And then the Mishnah Berurah has a discussion, if you have 9 people for a minyan, are you allowed to be mitzaref this shikar as a 10th person? And I would say he's absolutely excluded, because since he's excluded from tefillah, he cannot be part of a minyan of tefillah. As far as the zimut is concerned, that's for Birkas HaMazon, that's okay. And when he talks about a shikar, the Mishnah Berurah in number Yud Aleph quotes a Vilna Gaon, and he says that b'shikar she'eino yochel ledaber lifnei hamelech, he says yesh lahachmir lechatchila af b'shar brachos. Well, that makes a little bit of sense, because in a bracha you're standing in front of Hashem and you're praising God in a bracha, so that you have in a certain sense a halacha like tefillah, but he's not willing to go as far as tefillah. In tefillah we said that if he's really shikar, then his tefillah is completely null and void. He's not going to go that far in bracha, but he's willing to say that in a shikar he shouldn't recite a bracha in that state, but b'di'evet is yotzei, and that he's based on the Vilna Gaon. Fine. So even though in Eina Yochel Ledaber Lifnei HaMelech in tefillah is absolutely critical and it completely undermines his tefillah, but Eina Yochel Ledaber Lifnei HaMelech in bracha is only l'chatchila, but b'di'evet is yotzei the bracha. But all this, he says, applies in a regular shikar. But now we have a more extreme shikar. And who's that? That's a shikar who is considered higia l'shikruso shel Lot. You may recall that Lot got so drunk that he didn't know what was happening to him. I once had a student in my house on Purim, and he was drunk. But you know what? I thought maybe he was fooling me. You know, he wasn't really that drunk. You know, young men like to show you they're drunk, you know, especially on Purim. Then all of a sudden, he falls on the floor, His head bangs into a certain closet that we have. His head opens up this closet, and about six chairs, mind you, metal chairs, folding chairs, fell on his head. He didn't flinch. I knew he was drunk at that point. By the way, we put him to sleep in a bathtub in the middle of the night. He says, "What am I doing around my Berzon's bathtub?" And we saved ourselves having to clean up the whole apartment. In any event, so the Gaon says that if he reaches Shekruso Shalot, he's totally unaware of anything that's around him, then he has the status of a Shota. And he's completely parted from the mitzvahs, and his brachos are meaningless, because if you make a brach when you're potter, then it's just not a brach at all. So basically, here in Simon Tzadites, we have an overview of the laws of a drunken person for tefillah, for brachos, for kriyat shema, different stages of drunkenness. And that's more or less what we have here on page 4. Now let's talk a little bit about mashkin. Exactly what is he drinking? So we saw the Rambam in Bias Migdash, and we said that as far as Kohen Avod in Migdash, we have a distinction between Yayin, excuse me, Yayin and other mashkin. Is that correct? So the Kohen who drinks a Revius Yayin, if it's Yayin Chai, he's not allowed to do the Avodah, and if he does so, the Avodah is Psua. But as far as Shar Mashkin is concerned, he's not allowed to do the Avodah, but the evidence of Avodas Kshera. So we see that there's a special halacha with regard to the Avod in the Migdash, a special halacha of Yayin, which we call Shesui Yayin. Now, if we apply that, as I said at the outset, to Nesias Kapayim, because Nesias Kapayim for sure is a kind of an Avodah, then once again, and this is very relevant here in Eretz Yisrael, it's relevant almost on a daily basis. In Chutzlah, it's, let's say, on Yontif, on, let's say, Simchas Torah, right? So Simchas Torah, they take a break before Musaf, and everybody gets an Aliyah. And after you get your Aliyah, you make Kiddush. And the Kohen is making Kiddush, he's drinking wine. And now he has to duchen in Musaf. So the poskim write, he's got to be very careful not to drink a Revius Yayin. But my Rebbe was Makil. My Rebbe said that as long as he adds some water to a Revius Yayin, that's enough. Why? Because then it's not what the Rambam calls Shesui Yayin, who's Posel Yavoda. Shesui Yayin, the Rambam adds a condition that's got to be Chai, which means undiluted, and he's got a Revius Yayin that's undiluted. That makes him into a Shesui Yayin, and Apostle says Avodah B'dieved. But if he would make up a Revius which has X amount of wine and Y amount of Mayim, because he adds the water, that would be enough. So that's...
actually brings that in Elvis the C.S. Kapayim.
Oh, what page is that on? Is it here in our pages?
No, I'm looking at it in the room.
Oh, okay. So you want to do me a favor, Yudi? Could you read it out loud? Read it out loud, because I don't have a Mishnah Berurah in front of me.
So the Mechaber says in Sif Lamed Ches, Shasur Vias Yan Vasafas Leiso Es Kapo, Shasam Mishnei Pamim Vaishnasam the Sefer Matmaya Mutter.
Oh, beautiful. So that makes sense in the light of what we saw in the Rambam Vias Migdash. Does anybody point that out? If we make an equation between the Nesias Kapayim and Kohen HaOved, does somebody point that out?
Yeah. In the Mishnah Berurah it says the Berachas Kohanim and Davina Mavoida Ravel Mikdash Mekai Gav Nochayim. So the Mishnah Berurah does say it right there on the first part of the Mechaber.
Right. Does he mention that you need in Avoda you need a Revius Chai? That Chai means undiluted. See if he says
Yeah, he says, yeah. Mishmar says further,
where it's mutter, it says the Mikai Gavna Bamikdash Einoi Chaya Rishur Ba'alma.
Right.
So he says Elochim Mitzias Kapayim Dekilo Me'Avoida Mutter Lechatchila.
Ah, okay, that's interesting. But I think, you know, he puts it all in terms of chayav or potter. I would put it in terms of whether it's avoda is kshera or is avoda mechulelis. Okay. Now, what's the story with regard to a shikar who entered into a business enterprise? In other words, let's say he sold or bought something and he was a shikar. Does he have a right to claim that this sale is not valid? So if you take a look on page 6 of these pages, you'll see that we have on page 6 a quote from Shulchan Aruch. Just one second, where is page 6 here? Yoredeya Reish Mem Beis. And he writes that Yizayer, just one second, where is it? Yizayer kol Adam shelo yore, that he shouldn't paskin a din kishu shasu yayin oshar dvorim ha-meshakrin. And he says afilu b'davar poshut. He says it doesn't require some sort of complex analysis, but nevertheless, if he is in a state of shesuyayin or shar mashkin amashakrin, he should avoid any sort of mora hora, any sort of hora. And this is based on page 1. You'll see the Gemara in Erevin Daf Samach Dalid, Omer Rav Yudah Mar Shmuel shasa revius yayin al yoreh. He should not give any answer to any questions. And you take a look on the flip side on page 2 of Yomar Makomos, he quotes the Gemara in Krisus, and the Gemara in Krisus is also based on this principle about Mora Hora, and Hora B'Shikrus is completely unacceptable. Now, after he says Afilu Davar Poshut, Im loshu davar bara b'poskim. You see that on page 6 on the second line. Im lo.
You're saying he can use it as a defense?
Oh no, I didn't get to that yet. You're one step ahead of me, Joe. I'm just talking about hora for a moment, and then we'll see if we can talk about mechira. And he says in hora that if it's a davar barer b'poskim, then zil kari be'rav. Zil kari be'rav is another phrase for saying that anybody knows the answer to that question. So that's not called a hora. You know, something that's very partial. So let's say a youngster would ask him a question, he could give the answer, even though he drank a revius yayin. Now, on that same page, you'll see the Chachmas Adam, which is Rabbi Avram Danzig. And he writes, Yizar kol adam shelo yoreh kishu shasu yayin. And then he tells you how long you have to wait after you drank the yayin in order to be able to give a hurrah. And then he says, Lav dafka yayin, afilu shar dvar mamashakrim, afilu ochal tmarim, Oshasa cholav v'nishtabsha daito ma'at al yoreh. That's pretty amazing. He drank some milk, or he ate some dates, and he feels that his mind is a little bit affected by it. He shouldn't give any sort of hora, unless again it's a dover ha'poshu bar v'poskim, which is zil kari be'rav. And then at the end of the paragraph, he writes, Misha, I can't read the next word, Misha Meitzar, the Ein Daitu Mishubesel of Al Yore Beshoshu Meitzar, Ubidas Chasidus Lechol Bali Ora, Shehe Nizar Milahoros, Biyoma, De Rosach, Obam in Aderech. You know, so he got angry that day, or he came from a road, a trip, and he's a little bit confused, then it would be a midas chasidus that he should not offer any hora. Okay, let's talk a little bit about Mekach u'Memkar. So here we have to go back to page 1, but to the second Gemara, that's Erev in Daf Samachay. It says, Shikar Mekho Mekach u'Memkaro Mekar, Memchar. It says that the transaction of a Shikar is valid, is binding. Over Avera Sheyeshba Misa Mimisinoso Malkus Malkinoso Kol Shel Dovar Harev Kipikech L'Chol Dvarov El Shepotim in Atfila Omer Avchanina Lo Shonu El Shelo Igia L'Shikruso Shelot Aval Igia L'Shikruso Shelot Potim Ikula. And the impression you get is that there are three definitions here. There's Shasui, there's Shikar, then there's Shikar Kelot. And in the case of Shikar Kelot, he's considered a Labar Das. And therefore he's potter from all mitzvahs. And perhaps his sale is not even a valid binding sale. And for sure, if he violates an Avera, we cannot punish him with Malkus or any of the other punishments because he doesn't have the halacha of a pikeach. His status is that of a shoteh. However, a shikar is still considered pikeach l'chol davar. He's not intelligent enough to carry on a conversation with the king, but he certainly is capable enough to understand that he's not allowed to violate an avera, and he'll be duly punished if he does so. Now, somebody actually, you won't believe it, wrote an entire book on the issue of a shikar in halacha. And you'll see this book on page 3 and again on page 6. Could you imagine writing an entire book on this concept? So you'll see the bottom on page 6. It's called Shasiyah v'Shikras Ba'alocha. And he has here a machlokes, which he tries to analyze, between the Shach and the Ramah. The Ramah says that afilu b'davar pashut, a shikar should not even give an answer to a halachic question, even if it's pashut, unless it's a davar baru u'mefursam v'poskim v'zil kari v'rav. And the Shach disagrees. I lost you there for a second. Are you able to hear me now?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, good. Sorry. So he says the following. Yesh Lachkar, he says, I have a Chakira. What is the Iser of Shesu Yayin Lahoros Hora? Is it because we're afraid he'll make a toes? That's what Rashi seems to indicate in Krisus. So the Isur Shesuyayin and Hora is because he might make a mistake. Oh, Shatora Posla Shesuyayin Lahora. The Torah said that if you're a Shesuyayin, you're in a new category. It's called a Psula Guf. And your Hora, therefore, is not a valid Hora. In other words, even if we assume maybe he has enough clarity of thought to give an answer, but nevertheless he's considered a shesuyayin. It's a little bit similar to what we saw in Bias Migdosh, that if he drank for a revius of Yayin Chai, he's possible, and he can't do the avoda. Now, I'm not saying that I know of any logical common denominator between Hora and a Kohen in the Beis HaMikdash, but what I see is that the Sefer Shesia Shikras Ba'alocha is operating with a mirror image principle that underlies the status of a Shikar in both in both Migdash, Kohen and Migdash, and in Amora Horod. And in both cases is something called a psul aguf, which means he's capable of doing what he has to do, but nevertheless the Torah disqualifies it. And for example, there's going to be a machlokes aposkim here, which he, on page 6 again, he goes into great detail about this, as to whether a shesu yayin is allowed to be mora hora and dini mominos. And he claims that that depends upon how you learn this concept. If you're telling me that we're afraid he'll make a mistake, that's one thing, but if you're telling me it's a psul aguf, that's already something totally different. Now the Rambam in Bias Migdash mentioned Yayin, as we saw before, and as far as Hora is concerned, let's take a look on page 2 of the Mara Makomos, and the Rambam says the following. So Bias Migdash we saw, the Rambam Tefillah we saw, the Rambam Deya speaks about getting drunk as being a chote, a davar maguna. And as far as Hora is concerned, we have on page 4, let's just quickly look at page 4. We have here, just give me a second. So page 4, he has tefillah. Oh, so he writes Shasa Yain Kidei Revius Al Yispalach Yosu Yeno. And then Mishnah Berurah Sifkot Nalef writes Nir Duha Din Shar Mashkin Amashakrin. And the Taz writes that as far as Shar Mashkin is concerned, there's no separate Aloch of Shir Revius. Venir Ali Dimikolako Beinin Shebo Kidei Lashakir. I'm not sure exactly what he means. How much schnapps would you have to drink in order to be excluded from tefillah? I think the answer might be a subjective answer. It really depends upon whether he's capable of carrying on an intelligent conversation. I mean, it might be different for one person than another person. I don't know. He writes, Elu amakachi v'shabes v'yontiv l'fnei tefilas musav is chatfila yikachu al mitzah navim o yakpidu l'fachot l'lishtot pachot mirviyas o al yash k'sheodea she'eno mashpi al tzlilus daito. It sounds like a very subjective definition. How much yash, how much schnapps would you have to drink until finally you realize it has an impact on the clarity of your thought? Now if you take a look on page 7, we have the Trumas Adeshen, which is, I think, on the top of page 7.
Predators, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I have a very, very busy day and I have appointments. How much longer?
Yeah, I'm almost finished. But whenever you have to go, Yechiel, don't even hesitate for a second. Just go. We hate to see you go.
You're almost finished. I want to hear the punchline.
Yeah, okay. So again, on page 7, we have a very important Trumas Hadeshen on the top of page 7. And he wants to know, what about our wines? Are our wines the same as the wines back at the time of the Talmud?
No, they added water. We don't.
So he says, "Lefi mashmos haTalmud, ayinir diyesh lechal beyeno shelonu liyeno shelahem, shayu chazokim harbe umeshakri viyeno shelonu lo meshakri kulei hai." So let's say, you know, you have 13% alcohol or whatever the percentage is in our wines, but back in the time of the Talmud, there was a much higher intoxicating element in the wine. But he says The Bervias Shumuot ain't lesser Vieno Shalonu. So if he only drinks one Revius of our wines, he says there's no Isur. When we call Makom Nira Ditzarch Lizar Ma'od B'Dover, he should be very careful. And right below the Trumas Hadeshin, you'll see the Abia Omer of Rav Avadi Yosef. And he writes, L'inyin Shtiyas Cholov, Lifnei Hora, HaKol Lefi HaShoseihu. Oh, beautiful. That's what we want to suggest, that it's very subjective. V'chein Lefi HaMokom V'Hazman. So again, just to summarize, the bottom line is that if you drink a Revius Yayin, then you're going to have to be very, very careful, and you might be able to rely on the Trumas Hadeshen and assume that our wines are not as strong as their wines, so Revius Yayin might not be an automatic psul, but you have to really analyze yourself in a very honest way and figure out if your Tzlilus Hadas, your clarity of thought, has been impacted. And Rav Avadi Yosef writes, "Bazen nicha mashra inu kama gdolim noagim lishtos kafe hamazug b'chalav." So he's got milk in his coffee. "B'gam achar kach mamshichin lahoros horos lechol shoyel." They continue to give hora. "Harbi rabbonim adayonim noagim lishtos chalav aboker kodem alichos lebezdin." And we see here that chalav might be a problem. So he says the answer is Eina chalav shalanu mishaker kiteva chalav shalahem. Their chalav was different than ours. Al kol ponim, he summarized by saying Al kol lefi mashu adam. It's a very subjective issue. And you know what the status of a shikar is in halacha. Like for example, as far as punishments for averos, let's say he was mazik someone, can you be tovea him? I mean, this is a whole discussion which he gets into here on page 7 in the Yam Shel Shlomo, the Marshal. And even though the Gemara says in Ezekiel that Onam Amazik is chayiv even ba'ones, he says, Lav b'chol ones chayiv, ha-shikar afilu higia yosel mishikrusa shalot mikomakom chayiv v'tashlumin shal kol ha-ezekos. And when he says that according to the Gemara in Erevin, which we started with, that shikar kelot potum imisas bezdin, heinisha potum idine shamayin, avalafotro midin hezek, shamazik lechaver pshita shechayav. So he makes a distinction between paying compensation to someone as opposed to a din of onshin. And he's not willing to say that a person, just because he's drunk, is potter for all his actions, and he doesn't have to, you know, bear these consequences and pay compensation. And the Marshal in Yam Shel Shlomo goes very far with this. He says even on Purim, where there's a chiyuv to get drunk, nevertheless he has to realize that he'll carry the consequences if Chas Shalom is mazik someone while he's drunk. The other poskim I think might be a little bit more makil, but in the Bach, the Shuta Bach, he has a whole arichus here about Ruvain shesoed b'mesibas v'sudas chos v'kal v'zorak zchuchit el hakotel k'minig ha-shosim b'mazrikei yayin mitoch simcha v'toein shimon sheiziko b'eino. And he writes, u'mashe kosavto shezeh sheyesh lo taina shal yashikar l'gabi nizikin ein sofik t'chayev. Who forced him to get so drunk? Became the onsel machmose who he created him. He brought himself into the state of ones. Very similar to what we saw in the Yam Shel Shlomo, we see here in the Bach. They were more or less contemporaries. And he says, "Misbayer mitvarav shasiba liftar samazik mitoch simcha hirak beglal shenogu kein umistama mechal anizak ala hezek mochal anizak ala hezek." Well, I don't know. Is there an umdun of mechila? That's questionable. He says Yesh lechalik bein hezikadol hezikaton bein beguf bein bemamon hezikadol makpidim v'ein minog liftar behezikadol or behezikguf. And you'll see a lot of this in the Mishnah Berurah in Hilchos Purim, which is here on page 8. Now, what we didn't talk about is just general hashkafa about drinking and getting drunk. So for that, we would have to look at the Orchas Tzaddikim and the Shallah, and they write about the terrible gnus of drinking. And this you'll see on page 9. And they try to clarify exactly when do you pass the gvul hadak, the very thin red line between shesia re'uya and shesia of shikrus hama'usa. Okay, we'll stop here.